There's a famous adage in Judaism, Ma'isa avot simon labanim, the actions, the choices, the spiritual insights of our ancestors are not just isolated events, rather they have left an indelible and symbolic mark on the world at large, and ourselves included, to the extent that we feel the repercussions from said actions today. Throughout our liturgy, we the Jewish people are called Kehilat Yaakov, congregation of Jacob, B'nai Yisrael, children of Israel. It is the name of Jacob, or Israel, that we bear throughout the millennia. But why Yaakov? Why are we not called the B'nai Avraham, the B'nai Yitzchak? Why are we not referenced as the children of Abraham, the children of Isaac, or even the children of Moses? Why do we identify? Why throughout the annals of Jewish history are we referred to as the progenitors from Jacob? And the answer, I believe, can be found in this week's Parsha. There is a moment where Yaakov discovers his true relationship with his Creator that is so crucial for each and every one of us living through the pangs of exile. Jacob's greatest vision, his spiritual epiphany, takes place after he leaves his home. As he's fleeing from one danger to the next, he has a dream in which a ladder is resting on earth, and the angels of God are ascending and descending upon it. And Yaakov is given a blessing from God that his offspring will be abundant and spread out throughout the four corners of the earth, and all nations will bless themselves by him, and God will not forsake him. And when Jacob awakes from his dream, he says, surely God is present in this place, and I simply did not know. Yaakov couldn't believe it, that the divine presence laid right there as he rested. He was completely oblivious. There is a prophecy in Yechezkel, in the book of Ezekiel, where Yechezkel describes the Maisa Merkava, the cryptic interpretation of the divine chariot. And next to that chariot, next to the throne of glory, was an angel possessing four faces: the face of an ox, a lion, an eagle, and that of a man. But the human face was not just any man. It was the face of Yaakov Avinu. It was a reflection of Jacob himself. Achein, says that verse, Achein yesh Hashem b'makom hazeh, that surely God is in this place. Achein, which Art School translates as surely, Achein is spelled Aleph, Kaf, Nun. That's an acronym for Aryeh, Kruv, Nesher, Lion, Cherub, or Angel, and Eagle. Says Yaakov, I understood that on the throne of glory there was a lion, there was an angel, there was an eagle, but a human being, comprised of flesh and blood, filled with fallacies and imperfections, I, says Yaakov, am worthy to be on God's holy throne? That I did not know. Anochi lo yadati. That I did not comprehend. And it was at that moment where Yaakov recognized something so profound. And this is why the biblical commentators attribute the characteristic of emet, of truth, to that of Jacob. The verse writes, Titen emet le Yaakov, ascribe truth to that of Jacob. God desires us to relate to him the way we are, with emet, the real us, to grow toward him in our own unique way, which is different for each and every one of us. And when Yaakov saw himself in the Kisei Shel Kavod, on the throne of glory, Jacob realized he had to bring God into every aspect of his life in a way that resonated through his background and through his circumstances. Yaakov endured the rivalry of Esav, his brother, and the travails of running away from home. But when those angels lit the night with the aura of transcendence, and when Yaakov envisioned himself on the divine chariot, the Maaser Merkava, he understood that Hashem desired him for who he was, and it was imperative to, now more than ever, bring Hashem into his life. Oscar Wilde, the famous 19th century Irish playwright, once said, quote, most people are other people. Their thoughts are someone else's opinions. Their lives a mimicry. Their passions a quotation. Growing up, many of us are asked, who we want to be when we grow older. You know, if I want to be rich, I'll be a Baron Rothschild. If I want to be a healer, I'll be a Florence Nightingale. If I want to be a Talmud Chacham, a Torah scholar, I'll be a Rabbi Akiva. But no, Titin Emet LeYaakov. Hashem wants us to be who we are. God wants us to develop our own opinions and discover our own very passions. Not to aspire to be someone else, rather to be ourselves. And the biggest proof is yourself. Hashem did not create anybody else like you, with your unique background, with your unique personality, with your unique attributes. We say in Ashrei, in Psalms, throughout the morning and afternoon service, Karov Hashem l'chol karov v'chol shekru v'emet. God is close to all who call upon Him, to all who call upon Him sincerely. God wants us to call out to Him in truth, with our own faculties, not pretending to be somebody else, not to be somebody we're not. There's a story in the Talmud of Rabbi Eliezer ben Dordia. After giving up all his beliefs and ethics and leading a life filled with debauchery and philandering, he had finally hit rock bottom. And he went around looking for ways to find divine mercy. As he began pleading to the mountains, to the hills, the sun, the moon, and stars, but they all said, "I'm sorry, Rabbi Eliezer, we will not help you." Dejected and hopeless, Rabbi Eliezer ben Dordia put his head between his legs and began to cry, and cry and cry until his very soul left his body and he passed on from this earth. Subsequently, a heavenly voice came forward and said, "Eliezer ben Dordia, you are ready for the world to come." And despite the calumny and consternation, Eliezer ben Dordia was able to enter the world to come because he called out to his Creator sincerely, with real contrition and real remorse, not pretending to be anybody else but himself. And the Midrash writes that Avram Avinu, Abraham, was ashamed of the earlier years of his life. He wrongfully attempted to hide his earlier years in his father's idolatrous home, to which God told him, "No, don't forget those years. Remember them. Wear them like armor, so you can serve with your past and with your present. For that is what I want from you," says Hashem to Avram Avinu. "Go preach to the masses, saying, never forget your past. For your background and circumstances are essential in defining your relationship with me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu." Our sages teach us that when Jacob entered Egypt to escape the famine of Israel, one of the first acts he addressed was to plant shittim trees, trees of acacia wood, for use in the Mishkan, in the tabernacle, that will be constructed over 200 years later. And when the tabernacle was finally constructed, the Jewish nation had a very specific instruction to construct the planks. The verse writes, "Bederech gedilaton," in the way in which they originally grew. In other words, the wooden planks used to build the exterior of the tabernacle had to be built matching the development of a tree. So the bottom portion of the wooden beam must correspond to the trunk of the tree, while the top portion of the wooden beam must correspond to the top, thinner portion of the branches. If only one of these beams were upside down and did not correspond to the original planting of the shittim trees, then the entire Mishkan, the entire tabernacle, would be puzzle, would be invalid. And that's the lesson, perhaps, of Yaakov Avinu, of Jacob. The Mishkan's construction must correspond to its builders. And just as we must be true to ourselves, so to the Mishkan itself must be true, must be built authentically through its own natural growth process. To tie a knot in Hebrew is called a kesher, tying oneself close to God. But if you unscramble the letters of kesher, kuf, shin, resh, you can get sheker, which means falsehood or a lie. In other words, don't fool oneself to be somebody one is not. There's a story of the Satmar Rav, of Rav Yol Teitelbaum, who was at a wedding. And at these weddings, it was generally done in the more Hasidic Satmar circles that they would have a comedian. In Yiddish, it's called a badchan. And the badchan, this comedian, would act at these weddings for the entertainment of the chosam mekala, the bride and the groom, in order to enhance the event. So this badchan, this comedian, went up to the Satmar Rav and asked Rabbi Teitelbaum if he minded, being made fun of for the sake of the bride and the groom, And so, of course, the Samarav said, no, I don't mind at all. You can do whatever you want to entertain the bride and groom. You can even make fun of me. It's a mitzvah. It's a good deed for the bride and the groom to feel loved and entertained. So, the Barchan makes his way to center stage, and he begins making fun of the Samarav, of the community leader. And the rabbi began to genuinely cry. He thought at first there were tears of laughter, but no. The great Samer Rav, the great Rav Yoel Teitelbaum of the community, was absolutely, authentically shedding tears. And the Barchan, the comedian, was completely stunned, and he felt as if his soul was about to leave his body. After his act concluded, he went up to the rabbi and apologized profusely for disrespecting him. The Samer Rav said, no, don't cry. No, it was flawless. And the Barchan said, what do you mean? I saw you bawling your eyes out. I don't know what to think. The Samarav said, no, it was a perfect imitation. In fact, it was such a good imitation that it scared me. It scared me as it made me wonder if sometimes maybe I'm just imitating myself. How do I know what's real and what's not? Said the Samarav, I just hope that when I am serving God, I'm serving God as me and not as an imposter, not as anybody else. And this was Yaakov. This was the essence of Jacob. Titin emek le Yaakov, ascribe truth to that of Jacob, the man who at the lowest ebbs of his life had his greatest revelation that God wanted him. The moment he fled his house, fell completely alone in solitude by himself, traveling on the road, he has a dream of the ladder, the angels ascending and descending. It was at that point, at that nadir in Yaakov's life, that God said to him, I want you. I want you as one of those four faces on my throne of glory. Yaakov realizes that through all of the darkness of exile, you have to bring God with you and serve God with everything you are. B'derech gedilatan, the way in which you grew up, your authentic background that brought you to this point in time, the way you are with the unique cards that you were dealt. That's the essence of Yaakov Avinu. That's the essence of this dream, the essence perhaps of the Parsha. And Bezrat Hashem, God willing, by internalizing the message of Jacob, the Titin Emet Yaakov, serving God with truth as the real us, then God willing, we can finally merit the title of Kehilat Yaakov, Congregation of Jacob, B'nai Israel, Children of Israel, and God willing, bring Mashiach Tzikenu, the Messiah, B'mheira V'yameinu, speedily in our days. Amen.